All right, if you would, turn to Proverbs 8. We're just going to look at a few verses in this chapter this morning. The title tonight is Learning the Language of the Spirit, Part 1. I've been emphasizing the last few weeks about how we are seated in heavenly places, according to Ephesians 2. We're hid with Christ in God in heavenly places. Let your mind be on things above, not on things of the earth, Colossians 3. Philippians 3, the last few verses, says we are citizens of heaven. Christ came saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And one thing we saw Friday night was really interesting. He said, the kingdom of God, he said, suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And actually he said the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And everyone is pressing into it. And we looked at that in very many versions. It's amazing. One version says, the kingdom of heaven is forcing its way in, and aggressive, violent people are pulling it down. I love that verse. It's in Matthew. It implies it's not easy to be gotten, but for those who have a passion and a desire, all that God has can be had. Amen? And it's just to understand that there's going to be a grave. We talked about the warfare of these demons. There's a whole second heaven of demonic powers trying to prevent all of heaven's blessing. But the good news is we're seated above all that. We don't fight this way. We fight looking down. So we have authority, guys, to bind what's down in here on earth as it is in heaven, and to loose from heaven. Because in our prayer is, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And all we got to do is look around. You say, well, I look around, I just see scum and demons and people and problems. No, you're looking by eyes of the night. In the eyes of faith, you are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And in heaven, there's no sick, there's no demonized. Amen? There's no suicidal tendencies. There's no candy-coated glaze. None of that. But stark, blatant reality. And one thing I was bringing up Friday night is we live... The only way you can describe heaven... When John was caught up in heaven, and the only way they could describe it, they would talk about mountains of jewels. They said, John looked at the gates of heaven, right? And he's in the spirit world. And you can't in the spirit world convey in the natural world what you see. Eye has not seen, ear has not entered the heart of man, the things in the spirit world. I have been caught up in the spirit world. I've actually seen the colors of heaven. I've actually seen them. I saw them. It was the fall of 1989. And I was in a dream vision, and I was caught up in the heavenlies, and I saw the mountain of God and the colors. And when I saw the colors of heaven, guys, my stomach flipped inside out. I actually experienced the colors of heaven. And then it was because I was fixing to go up to the Blue Ridge Mountains in a few weeks, you know, and try to catch the fall foliage. And the Lord showed me that vision. I'll show you foliage. I mean, that's just total, dude. I've never forgotten that. Has anyone ever seen the colors of the world to come? In dreams or visions. I mean, that's the only way you're going to see it. And I'm going to tell you something. There is no word, like Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, there is no words can describe. So John, the only way he could describe it, he said, well, the gate was like pearls. That's a big oyster. Right? If the gate is a pearl. Cough demon. And he said, the city, it had all these stones. Look at Revelation. He's talking about diamonds and sapphires and emeralds and rubies. And the streets were paved with gold. I'm going to tell you something. It ain't rubies and gold. What he was trying to do was convey in this realm, using our language that we can comprehend, something that is incomprehensible. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's behind comprehension. It's beyond space and time. What's to come? And that's where we're seated right now. In the spirit, if you're born again. A place of infinite beauty, infinite glory, infinite provision. Right? It's beyond what he created. So all he asks us to do is throw down jewels. Pick up some gold. Take some diamonds and throw it down. That's what it means. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Bring the peace of heaven. The joy of heaven. The order. The discipline. The love. Amen. The unity. The healing. The grace of heaven. So that's our calling in life. Is no more to bring thy kingdom come. How? Whatever we bind on earth shall be what's bound in heaven. Whatever we do, when we lay hands on the sick, we say, Lord, come with the Holy Ghost and bring the gifts of heaven. Hebrews 6 talks about the powers of the world to come. We have the privilege of releasing those here. That's our calling, guys. wherever you say, you might have thought, well, I'm never going to be much in the kingdom of God. I'm just a housewife or a school teacher or work at a factory or kind of a laborer, kind of a, you know, this and that. God, you don't understand. You have a very high calling. You are around people that need Jesus. And you're around people that you can bring the kingdom of heaven where you live every day. Amen? And your responsibility is to be a light, be a city set on a hill, to be Jesus in that situation. And there are people, you, even you, are the only hope of kingdom of heaven is you. You are there from God, divinely appointed, and you are the only way for some people to ever experience heaven. You. That's it. You're situated. You, in all thy ways, acknowledge Him. God's got you right there for a reason. And if we get caught up in this world, the things of this world, the mind, the things of the world, and distracted by the day-to-day demonic and struggles, folks, you're missing the eternal call of God in your life and your destiny. And there will be a judgment. And to whom much is given, much shall be required. And like I said, don't get all out of shape about it. All you gotta do is say two words every day. Just two words, and you're right on. You know what they are? What are they? I'm available. Every time you go in the store, every time you go to work, I'm available today, Lord. I mean, Daryl obviously said, I'm available. You know, and he went, he said, Hola, Maria. And she started crying. And Daryl went, what's her problem? Went on back to work, got in front of his computer. No, he didn't. He was sensitive. I'm available. And you had an opportunity and literally found a conference room and ministered. Amen? And for all we know, that could have saved that boy's life that very night when he tried to commit suicide. Proverbs 8:1. So what we want to talk about, I did a three-part series entitled Distinguishing the Voice of the Lord. Now I want to learn His language. You know, the Spirit speaks in a language. And to hear the voice of the Lord, a man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. And His voice is rhema, living words. And this chapter describes His language. There are many places that talk about, but the language of God is different than our language. If you go to a different country, and you settle there, you're going to have to learn the language, am I right? If you move down to Venezuela, Honduras, Guatemala, you're going to have to learn the language. You can kind of, you know, when you live up here and you're around Hispanics, you can kind of, you know, get away with not knowing the language. Like when we go to the Mexican restaurant Friday night, and they're running low on chips, I just go, El chipos! And they know what I mean. Gringo doesn't know diddly with the language. But if I move down to Guatemala, I'm not going to get away with El Chipo. So many of us, we're pretty naive when it comes to the language of the Spirit. We don't understand that He speaks in a different way. The spiritual language. Sometimes He does speak audibly. And I was privileged only once before I was saved to hear the audible voice of God out of the sky. I've heard it in my ear a lot. But not audibly, only once was that. But there are some people who have heard His audible voice. But I would submit that's not the regular way He speaks. Amen? Let's read this. Proverbs 8:1. Does not wisdom cry? It's a type of the Lord. And understanding put forth a voice. She stands at the top of the high places. By the way, in the places of the paths. She cries at the gates. He entered the city. And coming in at the doors. In other words, everywhere you go, going in, going out, up, down, and out of bed, going home, God is speaking. That's basically saying, wherever you go, God is trying to speak. So the question is, are we going to listen? Verse 4, unto you, O man, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. And this is what he says, wisdom says, O simple, understand wisdom. You fools, be of an understanding heart. Hear, the Lord says, for I will speak of excellent things. Now, look at these real carefully. This is God telling us about how His voice sounds. The opening of my lips will be right things. My mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing twisted, reed, these are different, or perverse in them. They are plain to him that understands and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver. And knowledge rather than choice gold. I love this. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Now, I can tell you guys, there is nothing more precious in the universe than to hear the voice of the Lord in your ear in your spirit. Can I amen? All the things you can desire are not to be compared to the ability to hear God's voice. So he's trying to tell us how to hear it. And he's trying to describe. And he describes in these few verses pretty clear stuff about how his voice works. Let's go over it a minute. Learn his language. In verse 1, he says, notice, it's all over the place. Top of the high places, by the way, in the paths, the gates, the entry. I wrote here, I'm convinced the rhema is available as we are available. The God's rhema word is always there. God's rhema word is always there waiting for us. I believe he speaks far more than we listen. Particularly when you have a need. Particularly when you're struggling and anxious and frustrated. One of my favorite verses, 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now the God of peace himself give you peace always by all means. God will give you peace no matter what the situation, how much turmoil and frustration. If you go to Jesus and you cry out to him in the midst of your turmoil, guess what? He will bring peace. All the way from a sign in the sky to audible to supernatural divine encounters, God will bring supernatural peace to you. And he will release and bring peace to your spirit. How many of y'all believe that? One hand went up. Okay. I'll preach on unbelief. How many of y'all believe that? God wants to give you peace. You know, it's so silly we don't avail ourselves of it. We don't run to Jesus. Say, Lord, I'm hurting. I'm freaking out. I do not want to try to cope or hide or run or solve my pain or run to some consolation in food or amusement. I want to run to you. I want to hear a rhema word. You know, I've found usually within 12 to 24 hours I get a rhema. It's not often instant. It's usually within 12 to 24 hours I get a rhema word. A supernatural word from heaven that completely releases all the concern, and it's not even in my mind anymore. That's cool. Is that worth it? No matter what the enemy throws, 12 to 24 hours, sometimes he makes you wait a little bit. But if you're faithful and you don't opt for anything, you say, Lord, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against it. Thy word, has Job 23 says, I desired thy word more than my necessary food. There's a lot of scriptures about that, that it's his word. It's his, man does not live by his word. I covet your word. To whom should we go, Lord? You have the words, everlasting life, Peter said. I need your word. And that's not logos. That's rhema, quick and well. We live by the rhema. Praise God. I shared this the other night when Sherry got up. Sherry, wasn't it a week or two ago? You shared about Blake, some of the struggles he's going through. And what was incredible, I shared this up at Hot Springs. Without going into details, Blake just made some choices. Let's say were his choices and not our choices. Okay, he made his choices. And it greatly grieved us. And the very next morning, I have a blog site I go to every day. A Christian network, a research network blog site. I love it. I read it. And the very next one, the first blog in the top was addressing the very thing that happened. Precisely the very next one. I printed it out, brought it in to share. Said, you're not going to believe this. Look at this. And that really ministered to you. And in fact, she's got it on the bathroom mirror. She could have sitting, have to comb my hair around this thing. Because it's a word of encouragement, right? It reminds you to pray. Wasn't that God? There is no way that blog went other than God. Because I've never seen one that addressed, but literally completely addressed what had just happened. Is that a rhema word? We had to wait about 12 hours there, right? Y'all hear what I'm saying? God is good. Gives peace. Yeah, it's still hard, but you have peace then. You know, Jesus is in charge. He's on top of this deal, and his will is going to ultimately be done. Amen? And particularly, God understands the struggle of parents with children. God understands your struggle with parents with children. So he wants to comfort you. Now let's go on. Verse 6. Well, let's just consider this first. 6 to 9 says, it describes the content of God's voice. Look, as opposed to all the other screaming voices in your life. Verse 6, he says, I will speak of excellent things. That means worthy, noble, and princely things. God wants to speak things in your mind, in your heart, in your spirit, things lofty. Things exalting, things wonderful, things beautiful, things of hope. There's a Jeremiah says, there's a wonderful verse in Jeremiah, y'all all know it. Jeremiah 29, I can't quote it right now. He says, I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an end and expectation. That's his voice. He gives us hope. He gives us encouragement. He gives us consolation. He shows us things to come. God speaks, and I'm going to go into this more later on, but he speaks in visions and dreams and perceptions and discernments. All right? But particularly visions. Sometimes you get still, you see a scene in the spirit, and it's a vision, and it's just that fast. But if you grab a hold of it, often it has the embodied within it the very answer of what you're looking for. When I get visions, they usually never make sense when I see it. It never fails. I'll get a vision, and it's just some weird deal. And I go, what has that got to do with this? I never know. But a little bit of pondering, waiting on the Lord, suddenly all the dots get connected. It perfectly fits in. And that's why I know it's God. And I'm comforted, encouraged, and know I can keep on pressing in that God is in charge. He's going to deal with that stuff. When you fight the battle, the enemy's going to do all he can to discourage you, to knock you down, to dissuade you, to lie, deceive you, get you to curl up in a little ball like a centipede and roll away. And Jesus is saying, no, press in. Don't worry about it. Here's a rhema. There. Put the notch in your belt. No problem. I'll take care of it. Just keep pressing for the king. Verse 8, he says, all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. Nothing froward. I wrote here, righteousness. Always what's just, froward, twisted, or perverse, or crooked. The Lord always speaks, clears things up, demystifies situations, gives you perception of what's really going on here in a person. You know, God wants to get out of the superficial and the adolescent and the naive. He wants us to be wise as what? And harmless and stuff. So many Christians walk around like, you know, second graders. No offense to any second graders here. But I mean, second graders, spiritually. You know, just naive as the day is long. Dumb. Spiritually dumb. Guys, you gotta start with milk before you can eat meat. And you know what? You gotta start with milk. There are people that come in the kingdom, they want to eat a meat. You don't give a chunk of steak to a 7-month-old, do you? And then some people come into the kingdom and start following Jesus and they think they deserve meat. No, dude. We'll maybe mush the meat up. We'll pour some meat flavoring in your milk. We'll have meat flavored milk. But you need milk. I'm sorry. A parent would never give a steak to a... And I'm a preacher, a pastor, a spiritual father, and I know people need milk before they need meat. And you know what? Unfortunately, most Christians can't even dry swallow milk. They need diluted that 2% junk. White water. Not the wholesome vitamin D. I have been compromised to the soul of my being. My household shifted to vitamin 2 years ago. Left the realms. I mean, it's gotten so bad that even when I buy milk myself, for myself, I buy the vitamin, the 2%. I mean, it's, I know, the compromises. I know, you're right about that, dude. It's just the beginning, you know. First, it's 2% milk. Clean underwear. No more holes in the underwear. Gotta change, wash your seats other than when you throw it in the corner and the sheets end up just kind of, you know, in a form up in the corner. They crackle. Bachelor to the rapture. That's what, then you meet a wife like mine who for some reason she loves to have clean sheets and, praise God for wives like that. I praise God for you, sir. You've domesticated me. In that area, anyway. Verse 9. Look at this. They are all plain to him that understands and right to him that finds knowledge. The words mean straightforward, discerning, and faultless. You know what? There's a difference between condemnation and conviction. You know, the devil always comes with condemnation. The Holy Ghost always comes with conviction. You may fall into some sin or do something that you know you ought not and you did it anyway. And then you feel guilty and condemned and shamed. Voice is beating you up over the head. You know that's never from the Lord, even if you fell into sin. That's never from the Lord. He never sends guilt and condemnation, even when we fall into sin. There is therefore no condemnation who are in Christ Jesus. Now, what he will send is conviction. There's a difference. Conviction is you need to repent. Now, these are the consequences of not repenting. But his goodness leads us to repentance. So he says, I love you. Trust me, it'll be a whole lot better when you come on my side. You know, do you really want to cavort with that stuff and end up miserable? You've been there before. Come on. Am I right? The Lord is very gentle and loving. So you don't have to yield and buy into the guilt and shame. Some people somehow believe guilt and shame is from the Lord. It's not. It's from the devil. If the Lord be with us, who can be against us? Who is he that condemns if God be with us? Amen? And so when we fall, the Bible says just men fall seven times and rise again. God loves you even when you're in sin. And he will woo you out of sin. It's when you dig your heels in, get stubborn and resist it, and say, I want my sin. I refuse to let go of my sin. Thank you. No, I want my sin. That's when God's hand begins to go from the to the backhand. You understand? It's when you resist and are hardened, yeah, then you're going to experience the wrath. But that's not as hard any more than a parent. A parent would far more prefer if to say, now, child, you need to do this, please, for your own sake. The child says, okay, and obeys. Amen? Case over. It's the one that says okay, but continues in their dogged, stubborn, stupid, hard-headed, rebellious way that frustrates the parent. And then the parents talk together, what kind of crime, punishment meets this crime? You know, to break the back of the rebellion, because it's going to be terrible for them as they get old. And that's how the Lord is. We don't want to go there. Verse 10. Receive my instruction and not silver. Somebody, God's calling you. And knowledge rather than choice gold. Folks, the bottom line here is, like I was saying earlier, and I guess I could hand the mic out and people could give testimony, but is there anything really a whole lot better in life than hearing God's voice and knowing you just heard the Lord? I mean, what's better than that? To hear his voice and know you heard the Lord. His voice, there's a whole psalm, is it Psalm 29, talks about the voice of the Lord. His voice stills storms instantly. His voice, I mean, read that whole psalm. His voice creates light. His voice shatters darkness. And you know what the beautiful thing? He is more than willing to speak to those that want to hear. Seek and you shall find. It is his delight to encourage us with his word. And the key is to understand his language. Let's close with this, verse 32. Let's conclude. Greater than silver and gold and all the things you can desire is the ability to hear the voice of the Lord. I'm going to talk in the weeks to come about this. This was kind of introduction. But I've literally seen that God speaks in incredible ways in divine coincidences. You know what I'm saying? You think it's a coincidence that you get out of your car, you know, and you got something in your arm, you got your keys, and you're thinking about, oh, I got to get gas, and I got to be here in an hour. And all of a sudden, a truck goes by. In your peripheral vision, it has a word on the side of the truck. Did you know God can do things where that word on the side of the truck could be God speaking to you about your situation? Did you know that? That's how God speaks. I don't know what kind of orchestration the angels had to get that truck at that precise moment, your peripheral vision. There must be a lot going on. But it's to get, he's trying to communicate to us. And if you just stay open in the spirit and always acknowledge him, recognize God is trying to speak to me all day long in nature. I can't tell you how many times I've seen the face of Jesus in nature. I've seen his face. I literally saw his face in a cloud on my 15th rebirthday. I've seen him in visions. I've caught up in the heavens. I saw him in a vision dream. But I'm telling you what, I've seen him in nature many, 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 many times. And I know it's him. And it's no big deal. I go, oh, thank you, Jesus. Forgive me. You know, thank you. Here, it's your deal. Let me be about you. Right? God, you know, you're sitting there, kind of your mind starts kind of wondering about this, kind of getting bugged by that, and this is kind of starting to come in. And you're just kind of getting in, and then you look, if you're perceptive, and there he is. There he is. I literally saw the Lord standing up like this once, you know, his hand like this, way off in the distance. I could see it. It's in the clouds and the formation of the trees and everything. Oh, whoa. And I looked again. It was him. Okay, forgive me, Lord. Because sure enough, my thoughts, and I just said, forgive me, Lord, I'm not trusting you. Here. And then I quit looking at it because I knew he'd manifest it. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Do you believe God is that sovereign to us? He's just looking for people that are open to him in the spirit. He wants to speak. In conclusion, verse 32. Now therefore hearken unto me, O children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction. Be wise. Don't refuse it. I mean, to not want to hear the voice of the Lord is being really unwise. How can we say stupid is a better word. Blessed is the man that hears me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. Remember, you gotta wait on the Lord. Okay? Wait, they that wait upon the Lord will mount up their wings. You gotta wait on him. You gotta seek him. It's not just gonna come instantly. Trust me. Sometimes, a lot of times, you know, it may take a day or two. He's just gonna test you, you know, but trust me, he'll always deliver you and give you the word to bring you peace. For whoso finds me, finds life and will obtain favor of the Lord. I love that. Guys, it's all about living in the sunshine of his smile. Abundant life. But he that sins against me wrongs his own soul, and all that hate me love death. I mean, that don't get any more clearer. Now, if you like death and misery and torment, demonization and hurt and fear and anguish and moodiness and up and down and kind of occasional joy, but a life of frustration and if you like that, then close your heart to the Lord and be hard-headed and stupid. I'm going to tell you right, there's nothing more miserable in the world than a born-again person that's not maxing the fatigue. Now, if you're not born again, you know, go ahead. Go for it, dude. Enjoy it all you can. You know, a bleeding second of joy, trade for an eternity of horror. One would hope you get born again. And then put the pedal to the metal. God wants to give you, here's the bottom line, God wants to give you a life of joy and abundance beyond what you've ever dreamed. Lord, I pray you'll help us to lay down our idols. Get in a minute. Let's just do that. Say this after me. Jesus, I lay every idol, everything that I hang on to make me feel good, take away the pain, comfort me, that I run to, I lay them all at your feet. I pray you turn fire on those idols and on the demon behind every idol. And Lord, you lead my feet in paths of righteousness for your name's sake, to the point where a table is spread in the presence of my enemies. My cup runs over and my head is anointed with oil. For I can boldly and truly say that surely goodness and mercy are the two angels that follow me all the days of my life, and my passion and heart is to dwell in the house of the Lord. Let's all stand. Lord, I just pray a blessing now over us, peace and divine protection over all of us, Jesus. Amen. Of our minds and hearts, particularly the little ones, Lord, protect them from the evil and the evil one. I pray for wisdom for the parents to be like a big bird spreads its wings out to protect their minds and hearts. I pray you just provide many opportunities this week to go out there and do kingdom work and bring testimony back. And everybody said.